Hello, it's Larry Goins, and welcome to the bi-weekly Monday night Q&A calls for Inner Circle. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Good.
Excellent. Excellent. Looks like we got a lot of people on here. Anybody want to jump in and say your name and where you're from?
This is Julie.
Yeah, Larry. It's Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
Awesome.
This is Julie.
Rodney from Culpeper, Virginia.
Great.
Linda in Ohio.
Excellent. So I'm just going to jump right in because we got a lot of people on. We might have a lot of questions tonight, or we might have a few. Just depends. I'll stay on as long as you guys need me to. So who wants to jump in with a question?
I will jump in, Larry.
Great.
This is Aaron from Ohio.
What's going on, buddy?
All kinds of great stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, Michelle and I finally got to the real RIA Club meeting, and we got a lot of resources we needed.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm very certain that we have two very, very potential hard money lenders.
Great. Yeah, your RIA group is a great place to find connections, that's for sure.
Yeah, and this was the only one that really had a group. There's like over 100 people there, so it worked out well. But the question I have is, because we're starting to set up for the rehab, how do you go about, you personally, how would you go about finding a great contractor? What kind of questions do you ask? What kind of references do you look for?
Okay, good. Where are you going to find a good contractor? Well, the first connection would be your local RIA group. The second one would be some local realtors. Find ones that local realtors recommend. And then third is you could go right around and look in at job sites in neighborhoods where you are buying property. When
okay.
you're out riding the street looking for houses, driving for dollars, you can, everywhere you see a job site, you stop and talk to the contractor. And some of the things you want to do is get references. You want to make sure they're licensed, bonded,
okay.
and insured.
Licensed, bonded, insured, okay. And do they have, like, certificates for that kind of stuff, or how do they have proof of that?
Well, they're going to have a certificate of insurance.
Okay.
And then you can get a copy of their license, or you can look them up at the Builders Commission. It's like the Real Estate Commission, but the Builders Commission in the state. And all a bond does, not all of them are going to be bonded. It's not that necessary, but, you know, if you really want to find one that's doing everything they should do, is find one that does have a bond. And all a bond is if a contractor walks off the job in the middle of it, a bond pays to have the job completed.
Oh, okay.
But quite frankly, you're not going to find that many of them that you want to use that are going to give you a decent enough price that are bonded.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So another thing you can do is go to handyman.com or reliableremodeler.com or needcontractor.com.
All right, handyman.com. And the second one was
Reliable Remodeler.
And the third one?
Need Contractor.
Need Contractor. All right, great.
Randy?
Cool. Did that help?
Yes, sir, it did.
Excellent, excellent. Good, good. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Yeah, Larry, it's Mike from Boston. And when you put in an offer and they turn it down, when should you put in the second offer?
Well, it depends. Who is the seller?
believe it was an REOs. I put in quite a few different. I believe they were the REOs, the banks.
So it's an REO property.
Yeah.
Well, what I would do is I would talk to the listing agent, and I would ask them how long the property's been on the market. You can also look on Zillow. It'll tell you a lot of times days on the market. That's the number of days it's been on Zillow, which that's going to lag maybe a few days, but it's going to be fairly accurate.
Right.
And then you can actually talk to the listing agent and ask the seller's motivation at this point. Say, look, I know you turned down my offer. You know, at least send me a counteroffer, or, you know, how long do you think it's going to be before they're willing to negotiate? You know, do you get a lot of listings from this seller or from this asset manager? And if so, what do you typically see the number of days on the market before they're willing to negotiate a pretty good bit?
Okay.
Does that help?
Yep, that's great. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Anytime, anytime. Keep making those offers.
Yeah, I'm making them. The other question, Ed, I heard you say that you do make offers on double wides, but 1991 and above.
Well, 90s are higher. It's got to be in the 90s or the 2000s. In other words, I won't make it anything in the 80s.
Right. Okay. All right, great.
I have a follow-up question to his question, Larry.
Sure.
When they do give you a counter, and let's say they counter and they only come off, you know, $500 or $1,000 or something like that, where should I go from there? Should I raise my offer? If so, how much? What should I be looking at next?
That's a really, really good question. I'm glad you brought that up because that is normal. Quite frankly, they're not going to come off a list price more than about $500 or $1,000 as their first counter. That's just based on my experience. I'm not saying it happens like that every time because real estate is not, you know, I mean, it's every deal is different. So just be aware that for the most part, they are not going to come off the first offer, or their first counter is not going to be probably more than $500 or $1,000 off a list price. And in my opinion, I don't know this for a fact, but in my opinion, I think it's because they want to see if you're serious and going to come back at them again. So at that point, you could either come up some or you could give them your highest and best. That would ultimately depend on you.
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. Got some good questions tonight. Anybody else want to jump in?
Larry, this is Denise in Atlanta, and I'm just getting back into the wholesaling business, and I know that we're purchasing properties at deep discounts. So at how deep should our first offer be? Is it like 42, 50 cents on the dollar?
Well, what you do is you analyze your property, and then you determine your highest and best that you need, that you, you know, can't pay any more than that. In other words, you take the ARV times 0.65 or 0.7, and then you subtract out the closing cost, how much you want to make, and the repairs.
Okay.
And then that's your maximum that you can pay. And I did say it, what you want to make, right?
Right.
And then I would start probably somewhere around 20% below that. But it doesn't have to be 20%. It kind of, it's on a case by case basis.
Sure.
Depending on how close, you know, I need to go, and you know, after a while, you just kind of get a gut feeling. But, you know, if my maximum offer is not too far away from the list price, you know, maybe it's, you know, 50 or 60% of list price, then I would probably, you know, stay 10 to 20% below that on my first offer.
Okay. And then I had one more question on purchasing HUD homes.
Sure.
If I wanted to wholesale a HUD home, I know once my offer is accepted, I have a certain amount of time to get everything into them. So am I able to wholesale that deal quickly, or do I have to have all the money into them within that three-day time frame once the offer is accepted?
Yeah, here's the way that works with HUD. Once you get an offer accepted, which we got one accepted today, nice
mm-hmm.
brick ranch. I shouldn't say ranch. A nice brick, one-and-a-half-story Cape Cod-type house in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And it was listed for $60,000, and we got it for $21,000, I believe.
Wow.
But, yeah, and it's move-in ready. I could not believe it. It's hardwood floors. I mean, it looks like, I mean, we were looking at the pictures of it today, and, you know, my comment was, all this house needs is furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, so here's the way the process works. You get an offer accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have 2 business days to get all your paperwork, including the money, into HUD.
Okay.
Not into HUD, into the asset manager.
Okay.
Now, so during that time, before those, you know, before you send in the money, you want to do as much analyzing of that property as you possibly can. If you can go see it, great. If you can send somebody to see it, great. And then once you feel comfortable and confident that you want to send in your deposit, you send in the deposit and the paperwork, then you have about 30 days to close. You can set your closing out 30, 45 days, whatever, whenever you're, you know, submit your offer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then during that time, you are marketing the property.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we go bandit sign it. In other words, if it's nowhere close to where we are,
mm-hmm.
we run an ad on Craigslist that says make $50 today putting out signs.
Mm, okay.
And then we get people that call and email, and we say, look, here's the deal. We're going to send you 25 signs that say foreclosure with the price and arrows on it, and we'll give you the address, and you go put those 25 signs around in the neighborhood, all over intersections leading to the neighborhood, you know, all over the neighborhood, every corner, everywhere except in front of the house.
Hmm.
Do not put
okay.
one in the yard of the house.
Okay.
So then they do that, and then we run ads on Craigslist with the pictures and the price. And a lot of times you cannot run ads on Zillow because the exact same property is already listed on the MLS, therefore
mm-hmm.
it's on Zillow, and Zillow does not allow more than one ad per address at a time.
Okay.
That's something they changed several months ago. So what you do is you just run your ads on Craigslist, you put your signs out, you send emails out to your buyers list, and you start marketing your property. You get it under contract, and then you buy it and sell it the same day.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Anytime. Who's next?
Wait, I have another question just on the property you said you just picked up.
Right.
When you get a property that is that nice, do you ever consider just retailing it, or are you always looking to wholesale it, or what's your strategy on that?
Well, we could retail a property, but I like to just, you know, I like to just wholesale it and move it on and be done with it, because if I'm going to retail it, invariably I'm going to do something to it. The yard, I might need to clean it up a little bit. I might even need to paint it. You know, I mean, I said this house needed nothing but furniture, but, you know, realistically, if you got in there and you started looking around, I'm sure you're going to find some, you know, not carpet, but paint that needs to be done, some landscaping, something needs to be done, you know?
Right.
So I would just soon, you know, add $10,000 or $15,000 to it and move on and sell it to somebody that's either local or going to live in it or an investor or something like that.
Okay.
Because if you're going to retail a property, you're going to have to put it in tip-top shape and
sure.
you're going to be sitting on it for a while.
Right.
Yeah. I hope that helps.
Yes, sir.
Good. Who else has a question?
Well, I do have another question about hard money.
Okay.
Is there anything, when I start talking about hard money lenders, is there anything where I should definitely say, you know, no, I'm not doing that, or, you know, I don't want to go that route, or that's too much, or, you know, are there any guidelines for that?
Let me think. I can't really think of anything like that, you know. What I would probably do if I'm talking to a hard money lender, I would, it's almost like you want to let them know you don't really need them, but you're just checking to see if it's somebody you might want to look at, you know, expanding with and, you know, giving them a try. Does that make sense?
Why would you do that, Larry?
I'm sorry?
Why would you do that? Why would you make them not think you needed them?
Well, the reason I would do it that way, I mean, think about it, okay? Say I'm talking to you guys.
Okay.
You are a hard money lender. I'm an investor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I come up and I say, hey, I'm really looking for some hard money. I'm trying to do a deal. I'm trying to get things going together, and, you know, and I really need some money, and, you know, it's almost like you're going to be scaring them off. But if I come up to you and I say, you know, maybe you're a vendor at the event or whatever, or, you know, I go to the RIA group and you're there and, you know, hey, I was just talking to Bob and we were talking about some deals and he mentioned you do some hard money lending. I thought I would just grab one of your cards in case, you know, I have a need for some more funding. I've got some other sources right now, but tell me a little bit about your program. I might be interested. And then let them sell you.
Okay. We went to our first RIA meeting.
I'm sorry?
I said we made it to our first RIA meeting.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds much better, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Good. Great. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry. You see a lot of condos. Do you make offers on any condos?
No.
No, okay.
I know that was a short answer, but we don't.
That's your first short answer I've ever heard.
But you know what? I was looking at some condos on HUD's website the other day, thinking seriously about making an offer. I was looking yesterday, actually, Sunday, in Puerto Rico. Did you know there's 146 HUD houses available in Puerto Rico, and some of them are condos overlooking the ocean, one block away?
Oh, wow. Wow.
And starting, a couple of them I was looking at were like $85,000, $90,000 was the asking price.
Wow.
I bet a lot
out.
Of people didn't even know you could buy a HUD house in Puerto Rico, which means they make HUD loans, FHA loans in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight.
Larry, I have a question, Larry.
Sure.
I think it was in your agreement where you say you have to try and close at least 10 deals. I think it's a per week. Now, is that before the OJT starts or afterwards? Or
you have to close 10 deals.
Is that before or after the OJT starts?
No. You don't have to close any deals before the OJT starts. No, it's just what you're probably talking about is you want to make, I think in our agreement it talks about we want you to make at least 10 offers a week.
Yeah, that's what it was, offers. Yeah.
10 offers a week, but you should realistically be making more than that. But that's just a bare minimum.
Yeah, but is that before the OJT starts or afterwards?
It doesn't matter.
Whatever
you feel comfortable with. If you don't feel comfortable doing that until we get together and spend a few days together, that's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Good. That's a good question. Never had anybody ask that. Yeah.
Last question coming up soon. Larry.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. If we don't have out-of-town people on our buyer's list and something comes our way, I mean, before we can put an offer in there, should we be looking to see in that area who wants to take over something like that, like put an ad in Craigslist, or should we just put the offers in and then once we get it, then figure out what to do? Or,
well, I got a couple of answers for that. If you know of an area you're going to go into, I would be working on your buyer's list at the same time you're making offers.
Okay.
If not, then once you get a deal under contract, then just start marketing the heck out of it.
Okay.
And there's a lot of ways you can do that, too. I mean, even on Facebook and LinkedIn, just join Facebook groups, join LinkedIn groups that with the keywords real estate and in whatever area you're buying and selling the properties, you can post to. Post your properties on your LinkedIn groups, on your Facebook groups.
Okay.
And also, you could even run ads on Realtor.com if you wanted to. You could run little banner ads, and you can run banner ads geo-targeted. In other words, say you had a house in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
So you put together you a little banner ad. You could have somebody on Fiverr do it for you.
Right.
And then you run that banner ad. Say that is a $30,000 house.
Right.
So what you do is you have Realtor.com run your banner ads for anybody searching for houses $50,000 or less in Birmingham, and then your ad will pop up.
Okay.
You could do that on Zillow also, and you could also go into sites like ConnectedInvestor.com, BiggerPockets.com, all these little different blog sites, that real estate community sites like RealEstateInvestor.com, just a bunch of them out there that you could work and run your
ads. That's a good way to find the buyers.
Right. And you can also, take your address of your property and mail a postcard to everybody within a mile around there that is an absentee owner.
Right.
Somebody who owns a property but doesn't live there, probably a rental property.
Right.
So there's your, some additional buyers that already own property right where your house is.
And you have to wait till you do the contract. You can't just start doing it when you're looking at it.
Well, it doesn't really do you any good to do it when you're looking at it. What if you don't get it?
Right. Okay.
You're just wasting time.
Right.
Because you might have to make 20 or 50 or 100 offers to get a deal.
Right. It's always the fear of getting it, and then you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's okay, man. If it's a good enough deal, the buyers will come.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Hope that helped.
Very much.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question?
I have one more about hard money.
Sure.
How many upfront points do you find acceptable, and where would you say is excessive?
Well, that's a really good question. The main answer that I'm going to tell you is it depends on how bad you need the money.
Okay.
If you have several options, then you can be picky. If you don't have any options, if they charge you 50% of your profit, and that's the only other source you have for money, is it worth it?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. So, like, we charge 15% in 5 points.
Okay.
You go into a competitive market, like maybe Florida, you might see 12% and 3% maybe. On the other hand, you might go into some other areas where, you know, it's 18% and 5 or 6 points.
Okay. So ultimately, as long as the deal can support it, go after it.
There you go. But I wouldn't get locked into a long-term type thing with a hard
right.
money lender, you know, if you're trying to fix and flip a property and it's a major rehab. Just be careful with that because, you know, it can take up all your profit.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean if that's a good response. I mean that if it's a big rehab, like a $20,000, $30,000 rehab or more, they always take longer than you anticipated. And you always find things that come up that you didn't expect.
Okay.
So having said that, just remember you're going to keep the loan a little bit longer than you anticipated, and you're probably going to need a little bit more money than you thought.
Okay.
So keep that in mind in doing your deals.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry. I've been looking at a few properties that say right of redemption may apply. What does that mean?
What state is that in?
Alabama.
Yeah, that's true. I buy Alabama properties all the time. And what that means is when Alabama, in the state of Alabama, when a bank forecloses on a property and the bank takes that property back, the original borrower has, it's either 1 or 2 years, I can't remember, to redeem that property and get it back. But in order to redeem the property and get it back, they must pay the entire loan balance plus late fees plus interest plus attorney fees and any other cost. And I was really concerned about that when I first started buying in Alabama, but the attorney that I work with a lot in Birmingham told me that he has never in his entire career seen any single property redeem. And the reason is say there's a property that's in foreclosure. The loan balance is $80,000. Well, by the time that property goes to foreclosure, they're probably going to list it for $50,000, and they might accept an offer of $30,000.
Right.
Well, if the person's going to redeem it, they're going to have to come up with the $80,000 plus interest, late fees, attorney fees, foreclosure costs, and all that. They'd be better off just buying it at $30,000. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good. I hope that helped. But it is in the deed. It is in the deed when you get a special warranty deed. That it's
right.
subject to right of redemption, and I think it may have the date on it. I'm not sure, but it's never been a concern of ours.
Hi, Larry. Maria here.
Hey, Maria. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm excellent. So, thanks.
Is the title clear then, and can we still turn around and sell it?
Absolutely, you can sell it. That's exactly what we do. We buy them and sell them. Just know that if that borrower ever redeems, all these transactions have to be unwound.
So,
but
what
that's
would
never going to happen, according to my attorney that I work with.
Okay. If it did, do they have to pay back, like, us and the person we sold it to?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that, but I don't.
Okay.
I would imagine they just have to get the bank gets the title back. And gives it to them once the bank gets paid.
Okay, but you don't worry about that. And you probably buy a lot more properties there than we would, so.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have done quite a few deals in Alabama. And it is one of the states that we're moving into now, and we've got a full-time virtual assistant that does nothing but analyze all the HUD houses in Alabama. and makes offers on all of them every day. And as of right now, I think we have 6 HUD houses under contract in Alabama. And that's all over Alabama, not just in Birmingham, but all over the state.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Cool.
So did that help?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight. A lot of questions, too. Anybody else have one you want to throw out there? Anybody have a deal you're working on you need help with?
Larry, we've been getting some things that are pretty old, like 1900s, 1800s, 1840s, 1860s, and stuff like that. Have
right.
Stay away from them, or?
I'm not a big fan of the really old properties.
I know. Yeah,
I'm not a big fan. I used to tell people I don't want anything older than I am. That would mean it would have to be built in 1960 or newer. Now, don't get me wrong. I buy a lot of old houses, but I don't like the real old houses, 1900, late 1800s, even 1920, 30, 40. I'd rather stay at least in the 50s and newer.
Yeah. There was this whole area up in it was Athens, New York, and there's a bunch of houses up there, and you know, they're all on the same in the same street areas, and it was all in the 1840s, 1860s, and they were still.
Yeah, I would just stay away from that, in my opinion.
Away from that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's you're gonna get into a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought, because there's got to be something going on in the
I mean,
the
when you're getting in properties that old, you're even going to run into things like they just used rock for foundations.
Right.
Rocks stacked up on top of each other, underneath the house as piers and stuff. You're going to run into a lot of stuff like that.
Okay.
Old wiring, it's going to be, I wouldn't mess with that if I were you.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. It's David.
Hey, David.
I remember you talking about double wides. I've been seeing a lot of those, too. Are you opposed to, getting double wides? Or?
Am I opposed to buying double wides?
Yeah, but I guess my question is not double wide, but single wide mobile homes, and like, what is the difference between, because we mentioned a lot getting it seems like you prefer double wides to single wide.
Yeah, what is the difference between a single wide and a double wide?
Yeah,
about 12 feet.
Okay.
No, I would just stay away from a single wide.
Okay.
In my opinion, I would stay away from it. That's just my opinion. But I don't buy single wides, but I do buy double wides, and I like double wides. You can buy a nice double wide. I was up on the website Home Search a few minutes ago, and there was a nice 3-bedroom, 2-bath built in the late 90s for like $20,000, and the auction was almost over. And but you can buy nice double wides, vaulted ceiling, plant shelves, garden tubs, an acre of land, that's like, 15 years old, 20 years old, for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. And the good news is they don't need a whole lot of work, and you can typically rent them out for $700-$800 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, so I like double wides. You can turn around and sell them pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. Cool. Does that help?
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
Larry, tell, what about the ones that are in, like, these senior communities?
Single wides?
Oh, no, a double in a single community, in a retirement senior community. Yeah.
Well, do you own the lot?
No, I'm not sure. Yeah, some of them I think you had.
I'm not going to buy anything if I don't own the lot. Although I have bought mobile homes before in rented lots.
Uh-huh.
And I've even bought single wides before on rented lots. But
okay.
I'm talking about a very little money, like $1,500 or something.
Right.
I think I bought the last single wide I bought, I think I paid $1,500 for it. It was on a rented lot, and I sold it for like $5,000, and I got like $1,000 down and financed it.
Okay.
But that was years ago.
Yeah.
But you could buy them in senior communities
okay.
as long as you're comfortable with that being your only tenant
right.
or only buyer of the property. Because
right.
in a senior community, I think they have to be 55 or older, I believe.
Right. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. I hope that helped.
I have another question.
Sure.
I was looking at a property on Zillow, and it was on the market for like 180 days. But that was on Zillow. If I ask the real estate agent, you know, how long has it been on total, do they have to disclose that or will they willingly do that?
Well, I don't know if they have to. I don't know if there's anywhere that says that they have to. But I don't think there would be any reason that they wouldn't.
Okay.
But as soon as it goes on the MLS, it's going to hit Zillow within at least a day or two or three. So if Zillow says 180 days, that's probably pretty accurate.
Okay.
Good. Anybody else have a question? Well, you guys have done good tonight.
Hey, Larry, I heard Zillow is no longer going to get feeds from MLS in April. How's that going to impact us?
No longer get feeds from the MLS.
Yeah.
In other words, any property listed on Realtor.com is not going to be on Zillow?
That's what I heard, yeah. Somebody sent me...
there was a dispute or something?
I don't know if it was a dispute or what it was, but that's what I was told. They were no longer going to get feeds from MLS as of April.
You know, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that, but I can look into it.
Got a... Somebody sent it to me. I'm looking at my phone right now, if I can bring it up. It's in Realtor Mag. Yeah. I'm trying to find the date. Yeah, it just says Realtor Mag at the top. I don't know if that's on
Realtor Mag. That's Realtor Magazine.
Yeah, yeah. There's an article in there.
Uh-huh.
On.
Well, I just about, I couldn't imagine.
I didn't read the whole article because it's on my iPhone and it's.
Well, it's talking
hard to
about
read.
List Hub.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah.
List Hub and listing agreement. buyers on April 7th.
Okay.
I just didn't know how that would, if it's going to affect us at all.
Well, I don't know. I just have to read the article. I'm looking at the article right now.
Okay.
Zillow officials say they plan to get more listings directly from the MLS and brokers through a new service called Data Dashboard. So it doesn't look like it's going to change anything.
Yeah.
So Zillow decided to end the negotiations and announced the loss of their launch of their own platform.
Yeah.
They've been receiving listing data from ListHub since 2001.
Well, maybe it won't change it. Maybe it'll get better.
I don't know. Who knows?
Find out.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. I hadn't heard that before. I'm glad you shared that. I'm gonna show that. It's Realtor Mag. It's at Realtor.org. But if you just Google Zillow, ListHub, Realtor Mag, you're gonna find it.
Yeah.
That's all I did. Was Zillow was all I did was Google some of those keywords you gave me. Like Google MLS feed stop April. You know, Realtor Mag. I just Googled all that, and it was the top thing that came up. Cool. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else got one you want to put out there? Okay, now, going once. Anybody got anything?
Tony Larimore.
Hey. You just joining us?
Yes, I am. I was on a webinar, and I was actually running the webinar, so I had to be there. For that.
Well, I was just asking for any more questions because it kind of slowed down. We've had questions going on and on, back to back. For the last 45 minutes, but I just asked if anybody had any more questions.
Well, can I ask one question? Even
sure.
I haven't heard any of the other, but Larry, we are looking at, I've got a deal, and maybe we need to talk about it on the phone or something later, but I've got a deal that I'm looking at with a friend of mine who has he has several pieces of property, and he is wanting to try and move some of his property. Now, of course, he's not, really lowballing it, but he's got some really good prices on some of them, I think. And at some point, I wouldn't mind running it past you and just kind of see what you think.
Sure. Just send me over the details. Do you have any details of it?
A little bit. I'm going to get some more probably tomorrow and try and get some.
Well, when you get the details, just shoot me over an email to my email address, larry@larrygoins.com, and be sure and put Inner Circle in the subject line.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd be glad to take a look at it and help you. Just also send me all the details and what you're planning on doing. What are your plans?
Right, okay.
And the specific questions that you might have. I'll be glad to help you.
Okay, greatly appreciate it.
Awesome, man.
Well, sorry we came in late, but Ray was on this cruise down and she asked us to host this webinar, so I had to be on that. I couldn't get out of that because we.
Oh, I hear you. That's great. That's great.
Good deal. All right. Well, I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I hope that helped.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody else have any questions you want to throw out?
I just want to say I had a great time in that 3-day, Larry. That was fantastic. Very
awesome. Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Got a lot out of it, huh?
Can't wait to come back to where there's no snow.
Yeah, that was great.
angels yesterday. There's nothing wrong with the snow.
Maria likes to make snow angels.
That's funny.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh, thank you. No problem at all. I'm glad you guys enjoyed the event. Yeah, we had a lot of fun, too. It was a great event.
Oh, it really was.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else have any questions for me? Any deals you're working on? Anything you need help with? All right, now speak up. Going once. Just remember, guys, if you do need me in between these calls, just shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com and be sure and put inner circle in the subject line. And you can also call my office if you'd like, or if you want to just shoot me an email. If you have a question, we need to talk on the phone, I'll be more than happy to call you back. Or you can call the office and hit zero and just tell them you're an inner circle student and you need to talk to me, and they'll come get me. Or if I'm in a meeting or something, they will have me call you right back. So I just wanted to throw that out there and remind you guys about that as well, because I always want to be able to be accessible for you if you need me and need help on any deals. You know, because sometimes you're going to meet somebody or you're trying to make an offer on a property or something. So I want to be able to respond to you as quick as I can. So anybody have any more questions before we go? All right, guys. I really, really appreciate you guys listening. I sincerely appreciate your business. We're blessed to know you and to have your business. And we don't take that lightly, because I know there's a lot of choices out there for coaching and mentoring and learning real estate. So we are here for you. If there's anything at all we could ever do for you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, because we're here to help you, and we want you to be successful. And if I don't talk to you before then, I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. But be sure and call or email if you have any questions whatsoever between now and then. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Awesome,
thank
guys.
You.
Thanks a lot for being on tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for all your questions. You guys had some awesome questions tonight, and I appreciate your business. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You too. Good night.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.